Well, good morning, Emmanuel. So today we come to the last sermon in the sermon series on a book of Daniel. There's so much more, some prophetic material that I might get into in Bible class after Christmas, some very rich stuff. But for today, we're looking at Daniel, this young boy who was 15 years of age, taken as a prisoner of war, together with much of Israel. During the Babylonian captivity, the Babylonians came in because of Israel's idolatry and, according to the judgment of God, took them away for 70 years to the land of Babylonia around where Iraq is now, and that's where they were. Well, now Daniel is 85 years old. He's not a spring chicken anymore. 85 years old. He's been there for 70 years, and he knows from what Jeremiah, his contemporary, had written, the prophet, he said that after 70 years, the Israelites will be able to go back to their homeland and to raise up Jerusalem that was in rubble and all of Israel that was desolate will become their homeland once again. And so it happened under Cyrus. And as Daniel is praying at age 85 about this imminent return, he looks at his fellow men. And he sees that they haven't changed one bit. They're the same old codgers. They're the same idolatrous people that they were 70 years ago. And he prays a prayer of confession and of heart to Almighty God. And it's that we want to look at today. What kind of prayers get answered? And we need to understand that, because not every prayer gets answered. And not every prayer gets answered the way we want it to get answered. As a matter of fact, there is only one way prayers get answered, and that is if we have a Heavenly Father who hears them. But how does God, the Judge, the Almighty, how does He become a Heavenly Father? He looks at us, and He sees in us, as Ezekiel would say in his book, bones, dry, brittle bones. Out of the middle of a parched desert. How can dry bones have any impulse toward God? They can't. They're just dry bones. But then God's Spirit comes into the bones, and the bones begin to move. And God's Spirit comes into the movement of the bones, and sinew and muscle begin to develop, and they become zombies walking around. And yet they have no impulse to God, until the Spirit of God makes them back into human beings again. And that's what he prophesies of Israel, that someday the Lord God will have a revival and a resurrection, and they will come back to their own land. We see that in Jesus Christ, God has made himself our Father. Because it says that the soul that sins, it shall die. It says, you shall be perfect even as the Lord your God is perfect. And anyone who is less than perfect not only has no impulse toward God, but their ears are stopped and their mouth is silenced, and their every impulse is to run away from God. But at a time when we were loveless, that's when God sent his Son at the appointed time into this world as a little baby. And that baby came as the new Adam, like the first Adam before the fall, without sin. And because there was no original sin in this new Adam, God, 100% God, 100% human, he didn't have that original sin. He obeyed the law perfectly through his life. He had no actual sins. And if the wages of sin is death, he didn't ever need to die. He was perfect like the first Adam. But being God, he could die and yet be resurrected. And so he took the sins of everybody on himself on the cross. He rose and ascended to heaven. And in so doing so, he imputed, he gave us his righteousness as we gave him our sin. And when we look to the Heavenly Father and we go to him in prayer, we always go through the person of Jesus Christ. There is no answered prayer in the world apart from God being a Father who answers his children. And the only way we get to say, our Father who art in heaven, is because God looks at us through the lens of Jesus and sees us as a saint. even though we're sinners. He sees us as though we had never sinned, because the sins have all been washed away. Every single one of them, if we have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Daniel knew of that promise. The angel Gabriel and others spoke to him about the coming of the Lord and when all these things would take place. And he lived in that faith, and he lived in a right relationship with God, and he knew how to pray. Now, through the book of Daniel, chapter 9, there are many essential things to talk about when we want to talk about effective prayer. Unfortunately, I don't have time to get into all of them here, but I do want to just mention three briefly with you this morning. The very first thing is this: let God speak before we speak. I call it the listening step. Let God speak before we speak about it. I mean, think about it. Isn't it always God who does it first? Didn't God love you before you ever loved him? Didn't God serve you before you were ever in service to him? Didn't God give you everything before you gave him something back? In everything in life, God is the initiator, and by the power of the Spirit, we respond. Here's the thing we need to remember. God will never ask you to do something he hasn't already first done for you. No different with prayer. It too starts with God. It doesn't start by doing something. It starts by listening. And so we get into the Bible. That's how we learn about God. The Bible is considered a means of grace, just like Holy Communion is. It's a place where we approach God. In Holy Communion, we believe that Christ's body and blood is there with the bread and wine. We're approaching God, and he's imparting some gifts to us as we partake in faith. In Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit comes through the inerrant, infallible Word of God, and it does something to us. And so the very first thing we need to do is to be in the Word so we might know the will and heart of God before we ever pray. You say, well, I don't like to read. A lot of people don't like to read. So you don't read. You listen. You have somebody else read. You memorize. And you have Scripture in your head, so you don't have to read. You just walk down the street, you go in your car, and the Scripture is already there. And he speaks to our heart how to pray, what to pray, where to pray, when to pray. God's Word will teach us all of that. So Daniel's this old man now. He's 85 years old. It's time for the Israelites to go back home. He sees that nothing has changed. People are still sinning. And so Daniel writes this in chapter 9. He says this: I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Jerusalem was destroyed, and God said, it won't be rebuilt until after 70 years. Then they'd go back home. Now look up at the screen. Notice what I've underlined. Understood from the Scriptures and according to the word of the Lord. This tells us how we let God speak before we speak. Jesus reiterates this for us in John 15:7. If you stay connected to me and my words, remain in your heart, you may ask any request you want in prayer, and it will be given to you. Now, that's quite a promise, isn't it? Just ask anything you want under the sun of God, and it will automatically be given to you. Is that a blank check? Is that pretty good? Two caveats. What are they? If you what? Stay connected to me. And if you what? If my words remain in your heart. So you're going first into God's word, and you're connected to the Word of God. You're living a life connected to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has taken over your heart. And the prayers you're praying is by the Holy Spirit. You know, elsewhere it says, I don't know how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us. So the Spirit is praying through you. You're in the mind of Christ. And anything you pray like that is going to be of God's will, because it's coming right out of the Bible. And that's an effective prayer. That's the kind of prayers we pray. Listen, if you're in God's Word and you're praying in accord with the Word of the Lord, then your every prayer, your every wish, your every desire will be led by the Spirit of God according to the will of God, and those prayers will always be answered. But here's the reality check. We don't do it. Instead, what we do, and tell me if I'm wrong, is we make our plans. This is going to be our church's five-year goal. This is going to be what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to be moving here. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be buying this car. I'm going to be getting this new job. I'm going to enter into this relationship. And we have figured out what we're going to do. And then we bring our prayers before the altar and say, God, will you now bless it? It's the very reverse of what God has called on us to do. And then we ask ourselves, why do we get into such trouble? Why do I get in such a bad relationship? I don't like my job. I don't know where I'm going. I bought the wrong house at the wrong time. Blah, 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 blah. Well, it's because you didn't follow the pattern of Scripture. You didn't put God in first. You put Him as an addendum and asked Him to bless whatever silly idea came up next. And so as I'm getting ready to go to a meeting, and I have different meetings all week long, sometimes even with the governance board. And I don't ever know what's going to happen at a governance board because they're all individuals and they're going to have their ideas. And so I just pray, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to go in with my report. We'll see what's going to happen. And then the elders meeting. I have no clue what's going to happen there either. And then I meet with people. There's a couple coming in. I don't know what their problem is, but they need to meet with me. Or I have a three-generational group coming in and there's something going on with a sexual problem. I have no idea where this is going. And in this day and age, I tell you, and so I say, Lord, you're just going to have to be with me on this. I'm just going to be in your word and try to speak your word into their heart. And your spirit's going to have to do it because I can't do it by myself. And this goes on all day, every day, 50 years now this has gone on. All I do is say, what next, Lord? What's going to be next? I have no idea when the other shoe's going to drop, what's going to happen. Somebody dies, somebody gets born. I have no idea what's going to happen. And every day I just have to have a silent conversation with God. What do you want me to do? And if we do this, I think our stress, you know, you can live with this kind of life. And you all live in a busy life without having a lot of stress associated with it because you're there talking to God firsthand, letting Him be first in your life, and everything changes because of that. But we still have the question of timing. That's always been one that's been pretty big for me. If I'm praying according to God's will, I say, well, is He going to give it to me now, or is He going to give me something later? How do I know when the timing is? Because I like to plan ahead and have it in my calendar, you know, as I am kind of that way. Here's what Jeremiah 29 says. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans for your disaster. My plans will give you hope in the future. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Did you hear that? In those days when I pray, when you pray, I will listen. Now pay attention to this. It's not automatic. God says, I'm going to do some things and you get to do some things. I'm going to give things to you according to my timing, but you need to ask for them. God says this, I will determine the timing of answered prayer, but you need to ask. James 4:2. You do not have what you need because you do not ask God for it. God says, I'll give things to you when I'm ready. So how do you know which it's going to be? God's timing or my praying, chicken or egg? Here's the answer. If you're praying by searching God's word out first and you feel that the Holy Spirit is directing your prayer and it hasn't been answered, then it's because it's not God's timing. And you wait on God. If you pray, but you haven't been in God's word, but you're thinking about the prayers of what you think you'd like to have, and you think you have a good plan for your life, a good plan for this or that, then God is going to wait and say, I'm waiting for you to come and be in my word. I'm waiting for you to pray to me first. And so we focus on that. We allow God to speak to us first, and then we pray to Him. Secondly, focus on God, seek Him out. Daniel 3, it says, "So I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him." Husbands, marital advice for you. I've been married most of my adult life. When your wife asks you a question, seek her face. It's easy. When she asks you a question, do not be down in your newspaper or looking at the TV and go, And then she says it five more times. Instead, you put down the newspaper immediately, you mute the TV immediately, and you physically turn your face toward your wife, and you look her in the eye, and you answer her question. Why? She likes it. She likes it. Believe me, she likes it. And so does God like it when you seek His face. You have gone into His Word, and now you're praying and you're seeking His face. You have His undivided attention. And that's what Daniel did. Three times a day, he would have a conversation with God. He would seek His face, and nothing in the Bible says you have to close your eyes when you pray. Unless I'm with a group where everybody is doing it, I don't ever close my eyes when I pray. God is a big God. I need to look up to Him, and I look up with open eyes. And I usually, if I'm not in a crowd where people think I'm nuts, I usually pray out loud. Like I'm talking to real people, you know. I talk out loud to God in my car. People will see me talking to God. They probably think I'm on iPhone or something. So I'm talking to God, wherever I am, in driving my car, in a lazy boy chair. Lean back, look up, face God, straight at Him. This is what Daniel did. This is the second thing. First is listening. Second step of praying is seeking. Here in Proverbs 8:17, it says, "I love those who love me and those who seek," what? "My face." Jeremiah 29 says, "You'll find me when you seek me with all your heart." Hebrews 11:6 says, "God rewards those who earnestly seek Him." And here again, Jesus, Luke 12:31, Jesus says, "Seek first God's kingdom before everything else, and all the other things you need will be given you." He says, don't seek wealth first. Seek me first. Don't seek relationships with somebody first. Seek me first. Whatever you do, seek me first, and I'll give you everything else, because wherever you put me first, that's what I will bless. How easy a statement, how hard it is for us to do. There is a lot of pain in our room here today that could have been avoided if simply we would have sought out God's face first. The troubles we're in, the mess we're tangled up in, all the stuff that we're facing right now, oftentimes is just a process of not seeking God first. We didn't seek His help. We didn't seek His wisdom. We didn't seek His permission. We didn't seek His guidance. We just made a decision and then went ahead with it. And we went to the doctor. We went to this place. We went to that place. We forgot about talking to God first. And then it's getting worse and nothing's going right. And we're saying, "What's wrong, Lord?" Then we go to God. Most problems in our life are a direct result of doing things apart from God. And you know what God does when we do that? He backs away. When we don't put Him first, He backs away. God is not going to force Himself on us. We're not robots. God's going to say, "Okay, fine, do it your way." Like the prodigal son. The prodigal son left with his inheritance before he had a right to. And God, the father just let him go. Then when it got so bad, so painful, he came to his right senses. He says, "You know, I really need to go back to my father. That's where the help is." And how does the father treat him? Welcomes him like a son. The father will back away. You'll get in your stew and your mess, and finally the pain will be so bad you're going to come back to him. And the God is going to say, "I haven't moved. I haven't left you. I will never forsake you. You are still my son. You're still my daughter. I love you." And he's going to put his arms around you, and he's going to tell you how much he loves you. Hosea 5:15 says that. He says, I will return to my place on high and wait until they acknowledge their offenses and feel their guilt and seek my face. And then in their troubles and distress, they will earnestly seek me, saying, let us return to the Lord so that he may heal us. That's how God operates. This is exactly how it plays out in our lives. We just do whatever we want, find ourselves in distress, then we say, let us return to the Lord that he may heal us. I need healing. We need physical healing. We need mental healing. We need emotional healing. We need spiritual healing. And we need spiritual healing in our church as well as individually. We need it in our land as well as in our families. And so number three, we thank God for his love and promises. In Daniel 9:20-23, at the end of his prayer, Daniel responds, while I kept on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and pleading with the Lord, suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared in my vision. The angel Gabriel doesn't need to appear to tell us what God wants anymore, because the New Testament has been written. And the Holy Spirit tells us what God wants now. And what we learn from the New Testament is that God loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you so very much. He knew you before you were born. He knew you as a baby. He knew when you were weaned and growing up. He knew what color shoes you were wearing. He knew what kind of candy you liked. He knew what you were going to do in school. He saw you graduate. He saw you get married. He saw you throughout your entire life. He loves you so much. As a matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We have a nation that needs to be healed. We'll have a nation where warning upon warning has come to us and the day of judgment is coming. It is only by those who can pray to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, whose prayers will be heard. We as a church have a very huge part to play in the future of this nation. He will heal our land. And that land is Emmanuel Lutheran Church. That land is Clovis, California. That land is where you have your home and your heart. We are God's people. If we will humble ourselves, he will forgive us and heal our land. And that's the great news of a wonderful God. Let's rise and join in prayer. Oh dear God, thank you that you're such a gracious God. As we get ready to be family around the Holy Communion, we just pray that we might seek your word every day. Help us to see your plan for our life, that it involves your timing and my praying. Help us see how many times we have not because we ask not. Teach me how to focus my attention on you. It's so easy to get distracted. I want my face toward you. Teach me how to talk to you with emotion, to be authentic and real, not phony and fake. We don't have to pray like some preacher. We just have to pray words and garbled sounds that you understand and know because it's from our heart. God, some of us have wandered away. Some of us are not as close to you as they should be. Help them, Lord, to come back home again today. Thank you for loving me, God. Thank you for your promises and thank you, you're faithful even when I'm unfaithful. You're consistent with I'm unconsistent and that you love me through the merits of Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, we pray for all those in our hearts, the homebound, the distressed, those who are victims of fire and all the dangers around us in our world today, that you would show them yourself and your love and your mercy and give them the resources they need to cope with their life. Heavenly Father, all these prayers we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.